7 p.m. on 101 FM WAUK, 5:40 a.m. The Shaw. We've got national television celebrity star Chad Belding, host of The Foul Life on the Outdoor Channel, as our guest today. And we've heard so far about his amazing journey from hunting as a child and his birth into the waterfowl industry, what it takes to become successful in that industry, the work, the contacts, the development of brands, which is all part of something that takes an incredible amount of effort. And at the end of it, you can see just by listening to Chad, I have to be honest, Chad, I don't know how you sleep. I don't know how you sleep at night, because the ideas that come out of you, every one of them, I want to try to write down. I don't know how you get time to put your mind to rest and sleep at night.
I don't sleep that much. I don't like that whole analogy that you'll sleep when you're dead, because I do want to be healthy, and I understand how important sleep is. But yeah, when you got to find ways to turn it off, and you got to find ways to enjoy it, because when you get momentum going, it could take over everything. And it's the secret to success in life is obviously balance. But yeah, we've been blessed. I mean, we're honored to be in the position that we are. It's a lot of hard work, and it's just one of those attributes that I think come with the right upbringing and the right raising and the right childhood. Of my dad always told me, I was put on this earth to work. And you can fall in love with a girl, but if you can't provide, that love ain't lasting very long. And you could say, well, all love is lasting. I'm like, nah, man, you look at the statistics speak for themselves. You got to work. You got to be creative. You got to have a tenacity, because life in the long run has a lot of peaks and valleys, and there's a lot of rough times that come in everybody's way. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of times that you have to overcome the inability. When you think you're at your lowest and you have to pick yourself up and be a self-starter, that's what we need to learn in school. I don't know if it can be taught, but we need to learn how to grow our own food. We need to learn how to hone our skill sets to live off the land, and how to make money, and how to create revenue, and how to manage money. And there's a lot of things that you can get into that I've learned along the way. We are college educated, and I'm thankful that we got baseball scholarships. Myself and both of my brothers, all three of us, got our college education paid for hitting a baseball, which we're so blessed to have had that happen. But college taught me how to juggle. I don't use my degree a whole lot, Joel, but it taught me how to juggle. It taught me how to keep these balls in the air while I'm working on these ones that have landed a little bit. And it taught me how to follow through. It taught me the art of promptness. It taught me how to manage a bunch of different people coming at you, whether it was the baseball coach or the weight room or the trainer or the professors or whatever it was. I just look back on it like the whole time it was me soaking this up and becoming a sponge, to where when I got into my 30s, I was given opportunities to apply that knowledge and those learnings that I was so luckily able to get growing up. And I think that if people think about the question, which is the most posed question I always get, how do I get your job? If you think about it, learn how to communicate, learn how to be unorthodox and think outside the box, learn how to be prompt, learn how to present yourself. Yes, I have a sleeveless shirt on right now, but I wear sleeveless shirts because that has become kind of a style for me. But I don't go into a meeting in a negotiation with a sleeveless shirt on. I don't go right into a restaurant. I don't go into it. Here's Joel. This is one that probably piss a lot of your listeners off. I don't think you should wear sweats in public unless you're going to the gym. I think I think in my personal opinion that Crocs have ruined the fabric of our society, just like social media. We breed laziness through a lot of the innovation in the way that we live our lives. And I'm not saying that everybody has to live by that analogy, but what happened with bending over and pulling some boots on? And then I hear this like, oh, you could put them in four-wheel drive and just put the back strap up. I'm like, no, that's the laziest thing I've ever seen. My dad would never allow that. And it's not judgmental. And if you wear Crocs, more power to you. But that's breeding a laziness, in my opinion, that makes us forget that we do have to tie our shoes and tighten our bootstraps once in a while. Life gets too much of a what they call a participation, Joel. And when you start thinking about what your question was of like, how did we get to there? We didn't just participate, man. We kept going and going. And when I was like, man, we got an opportunity to have a company called Bandit. we kicked it in gear and we just kept riding it and driving it. It didn't happen because of luck. You create your own luck. The harder you work, the luckier you get. And I live by those analogies. I've never once in my life, and I mean this, read a get rich book. I've never read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I've read one page of Art of Negotiation by Donald Trump and knew what he was talking about. And I read a book by Bo Peabody called Lucky or Good and how you create your own luck and how you, if you work hard, you will create your own luck. Okay. So I look back on it like, this is hard work. Becoming a successful and consistent hunter is hard work. Becoming a businessman is hard work. Becoming a good dad is hard work. A good mate is good work. You've seen it in your personal life right now. So if you think about work ethic, that's what it takes to be successful. But a lot of people aren't willing to put in that time. And that's why I made the joke about Crocs, is that if you think about it, that's just cutting a corner. If the bigger picture is, pull your boots on, tie your shoes up tight, and let's freaking go to work. You can't work hard in Crocs. They slip off too easy. You don't want to slip off the track that easy, Joel. And that's why I'm trying to tell you that hard work and being a visionary, the entrepreneurial spirit of America, and using the art of visualization is so key in life. Before the hunt, the night before, I visualize the roost, the approach, the wind, the hide, my dog, my guns, my calls, my sounds. When the hunt's going on and Axel brings me back a duck, now I start visualizing the butchering, the processing, the cookbook, the recipes, the rubs, the sous vide, the Traeger grill, the Napa Valley olive oil. You name all these brands that we work with, they don't need me to sit here and say Napa Valley olive oil is the only oil in the world. We use it because it tastes unbelievable, and it makes us feel more confident as cooks and as providers and as backyard, what I call backyard aficionado. You come to my pad and I'm on the Traeger, I'm not going to let you leave there without going, holy smokes, was that really duck? Was that really alligator? You've cooked some of the best wild game I've ever tasted. Your alligator on a spin and that hanger and how you did that whole thing was amazing. The alligator volcano. There's just so many things that you take out of every day. And if you apply yourself and you visualize and you hold yourself accountable through writing things down, short-term goals, mid-term goals, long-term goals, and crossing those goals off your list, and you're going to feel like that you did something that day. And that's going to turn into bigger picture visions, and that's how Banded and the Foul Life and the Provider and Jargon Duck Calls and Jargon Goose Calls and This Life Ain't For Everybody podcast and the Foul Life podcast and Where the Payment Ends. And it's not going to stop there. We got so many ideas, and we have so many goals right now. It's not going to stop. We're fired up, and we have a ton of passion, and we're honored that people follow us and want to live through us vicariously.
Something you said in there that I think really bears keeping in mind, you make your own luck. There is no such thing as luck. It comes through hard work. But I'm going to say, a lot of people work hard. But Chad, before I ever had the blessed opportunity to be a part of the show, to work on the show, I'm a fan of the show. And you know why I'm a fan of the show? When I watch the show, you're having a blast. You can't fake that on television. You're having a fantastic time when you're in the blind, number one. Number two, as a viewer, you don't feel like the person on television is preaching to me. Did you make a conscious effort to make the show feel like the viewer is in the blind with you? The viewer's putting out the decoys. The viewer's seeing the spread. Because that is one of the keys to the comfortability of the show, is that you never feel like you're being talked down to. I've been hunting 10 years in my life, 12 years. I'm still a relatively new hunter. I'm still learning all the time. But I don't want to, you know, a lot of the shows out there, you feel like you're being talked down to. Do you make a conscious effort to include your viewer? Because that's how it feels.
The best. The only reason I'm in the outdoor TV game is because of two names, Michael Waddell. And when I first cut the first pilot of the Foul Life, the SHOT Show was in Orlando that year. And he was the first person. I still tell Waddy this all the time. I still will just text him out of the blue to say thank you. He did a party with me in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and we gave $21,000 to the Freedom Hunters military organization. And he got up and gave a speech at our party, and I sat there and watched him talk, and I'm just like, this dude's just got it. And what he always did every week on Bone Collector or Realtree Road Trips or Monster Bucks or whatever it was, he could shoot a 130 and be just as fired up if he just shot a 210. And when I saw that, I was like, He's not trying to show us that he's a good deer hunter. He's trying to show us how unbelievable Mother Nature and this lifestyle of being an American hunter is. And that's what I took into consideration. But could you imagine if this city boy from Reno, Nevada, that did have a lot, I love the country, I love hunting. But could you imagine if I had the audacity to go on and say, you better listen to me, I know what I'm doing. I've been to the World Duck Calling Championship 3 times on Main Street in Stuttgart, Arkansas. How did you get there, Chad? Well, 1 year I won the Nevada State because John David Stanley, one of the best callers in the world, blew the light, blew over and got disqualified. I went to Stuttgart and literally got laughed off the stage. But what I did when I was there, I met Mary McCollin, the owner of Max Prairie Wings. I met Chuck Locke, the GM of Max Prairie Wings. I met all these people. I hung out with Kelly Powers and Fred Zink and Mike Mack, like you name it. I was meeting them and going up and talking to them. I didn't want the show to be about rah, rah, look at us, we're the best. We suck. God, I look back at the first seasons of the Foul Eye. We're not that good of hunters. We're nothing special. We're not a trailblazer. I look back at people like Fred Bear, and I look back at people like Phil Robertson and Warren Coco on the very first Duckman video, Duckman of Louisiana. You know, when Phil said that Terry Bradshaw went for the Bucks and he went for the Ducks because they both played quarterback, Phil actually started before ahead of Terry Bradshaw at Louisiana Tech University. Phil has a master's degree, and he's become the biggest icon in duck hunting history probably because of the success of Duck Dynasty and his no apologetic attitude. And I was so ingrained in becoming a part of this, I would call Phil every day. I'd call Tim Grounds every day, and he'd answer, hey, bub, and I'd blow my routine for him. I'd call Phil and Jace and Willie down in West Monroe, Louisiana. They're like, Belden's got them ducks in the desert. My brother Clay would call them. And then all of a sudden, I got to go hunting with them. I'm down there with Benny Prince in Texas, in Haskell County, Texas, hunting mallard ducks with Phil Robertson and Jace and Red Dog. And now I'm part of the Duck Commander crew. And I was like, what the heck? And it was just because I had I wanted them to know that, hey, I love what you're doing, and I want to learn from you. And then they saw that passion, and I think that that's kind of how everything molded into it, is that we were able to get momentum, Joel, and people like you. You came on board because you saw that passion. You saw how awesome this lifestyle is and how blessed we are to live it. I'm looking at Jack Orlandi, our little Italian friend from Chicago, sitting across the table from me. He saw it too when I was with you, and he's working for us, working with us now. I don't like saying working for us, but he's working with us now. So you guys see the passion. You see the lifestyle. We get a taste of it. We work hard. We enjoy it together. We celebrate this life together. We don't take it for granted. I don't say that I'm humbled because of it. I was humbled before this. Humility's key in all of this. I never put ourselves or our team or our brands above the duck. I always have compassion for the animals we pursue. I have respect for the resource. We love conservation. We work with Safari Club International and California Waterfowl, and we want to respect everything that this life has to offer. And that's the provider mentality. That's the hunter-gatherer mentality. If you take the responsibility of aiming a 12-gauge that shoots today's technology of black cloud at 1,450 feet a second at a mallard duck, can you imagine the fear in that duck's eyes when those pellets are headed his way and the pain he feels when it hits him? I'm not going to sit there and ever take that for granted. I'm going to pick that duck up. I'm going to showcase it the right way. I'm going to cook it the right way, eat it, and say thank you.
And so you hit that on the head. So very often the criticism we get from those against us is that we don't care about the resource, and that is quintessentially key. And, you know, your brother Clay talked about it a couple weeks ago, and that is important, that folks understand how much true hunters appreciate the resource. Chad Belding, we'll be right back for the last part of this segment. It's going so fast. We're going to talk about hunting in Wisconsin and what we can expect this year on The Foul Life on the Outdoor Channel.